Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's a great privilege to stand before you to share word of God. I would like to thank Pastor Sammy because he reduced my burden selecting the passage. It is very difficult for me to select the passage because we have 66 books from Genesis to Revelation. So he gave option that you can do series. So we have selected small epistle that is Jude. It is beside the Revelation, before Revelation. So author of this Jude, we can say clearly that is Jude. we can clearly read that verse 1, Jude, a brother of James, a half brother of Jesus. We can say that he is not apostle, because when we read verse 17, it says, but you beloved are to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he is not an apostle, but he is a working with apostles. He is a brother of Jesus Christ, and he is a brother of James, whom he is writing. The recipient is probably Jewish believers. Jewish believers, those who are believing Christ among Jews. Why I say that? We can say clearly, Jude explains, gave illustrations of Old Testament. For example, verse 5, if you see the verse 5, the example of Israel, that Jesus saved a people out of land of Egypt and destroyed who did not believe. Verse 6, the example of rebellious angels. Verse 7, he mentioned that the example of Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction. Then he also mentioned OT names. For example, verse 9, Moses, Michael the archangel. Verse 11, when we see Cain, Balaam, Korah. Verse 14, Enoch, Adam. So it is probably wrote to the Jewish believers. We can clearly understood. So what is the theme of this, the purpose of this letter, small letter, verse 1 to 25? It is very clear, the contend for sound doctrine to uphold Christ's glory. Contend for sound doctrine to uphold Christ's glory. Because when we see the purpose statements, chapter verse 3 and 4, it says, beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. Verse 4 he says, for the certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who are long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. This is the purpose statement. So purpose of this letter, why Jude was writing this letter, that is contend for the faith. Here the faith means sound doctrine. Faith means truth for what we should live for what we should fight for. It is clear that to uphold glory of Jesus Christ, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. When we see the outline of this small epistle, first he explains, verse 1 and 2, the security of our salvation in Christ. The security of salvation in Christ, verse 1 and 2. Then he explains the purpose statement, verse 3 and 4, the church must contend for the faith. It is not option. Church must contend for the faith. Because verse 3, it says, contend earnestly for the faith. Then he explains, verse 5 to 19, Christ judges false teachers, apostates. Christ judges false teachers. Because when we read verse 6, it says, angels did not keep their own dominion and he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Verse 13 says, brothers and sisters, whom the black darkness has been reserved. Reserved means here kept forever. Verse 10 says that they are destroyed. Based on these, we learn two reasons that why should we contend for the sound doctrine. We are kept in Christ. False teachers kept outside of the Christ. Because God, Jesus, is going to judge them. In that, he explains, verse 5 to 7, past judgment of apostates, past judgment of false teachers, he mentioned. Because Jesus destroyed those who did not believe from Israel. Then rebellious angels, verse 6, and destruction of Sodom, Gomorrah, verse 7. Then he explains present conduct and characteristics of false teachers, verse 8 to 13. It is clear that when we see verse 4, look at verse 4, he mentioned they are ungodly, morally corrupted. They deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, it says they are dreamers, defile the flesh, reject authority, blaspheme holy angels. When we see verse 10, Jude here clearly explaining that their characteristics. Verse 10, he says they are ignorant of truth, destroyers of themselves. When we see verse 12, it says hidden roofs, caring themselves. Their characteristics, their conduct is caring themselves. Then verse 16, he mentioned they are grumblers, fault finders, self-seekers, arrogant speakers, flatterers. When we see verse 19, he mentioned that they cause division, worldly minded, without spirit. See, we must watch the teaching, the characteristics of those who are teaching to us. We should observe, we cannot listen teaching whoever we want. When we open the TVs and when we open the mobiles, there are many people, many preachers teaching the word. But we should be careful. We should must watch the characteristics of false teachers. Here Jude, he explained very clearly. Then verse 14 to 16, he explains future damnation of false teachers. Future damnation of apostates. Verse 14 to 16. Because verse 15 says, to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way. Jesus is going to judge them. It is talking about eternal hell. Then he explained, verse 17 to 19, past warnings of apostles about apostates. Past warnings of apostles about false teachers, verse 17 to 19. Because when we see 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 says, know this first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust. Here Jude, the mention, the same quotation from 2 Peter. It is the interesting thing, that is, this is showing that this epistle was written after 2 Peter. It would be like AD 66 to 80. AD 80. He wrote this small epistle. Don't think that we are facing false teachers now. But early church were facing false teaching always. So we should be careful. We should be watchful because of these false teachers, because of false teaching. Then he explains, verse 20 to 23, duties of church to persevere. Duties of the church to persevere. Because he mentioned that we must build ourselves upon sound doctrine. Then he mentioned praying in the Holy Spirit. that is praying in the will of God and in the power of Spirit. Then he says, keep ourselves in the love of God. We have duties. Not only we understood we are kept in Christ, but we have duties to persevere. Read apostle teachings to know. When we read book of Jude, epistle of Jude, we will understand what is the false teachings. We must have commitment to keep his word if we kept for Christ. Then finally, he explains, Christ keeps the church from stumbling. Christ keeps the church from stumbling. Verse 24 to 25. Because verse 24 says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. Brothers and sisters, our strength is Lord, who can keep us, who can give his strength to us to stand without blameless. So, by knowing these all things, the outlines, the theme of this epistle, let me ask you one question. That is there a possibility a Christian, genuine Christian, could lose his salvation? Yes? No. Can those who genuinely trust Christ for salvation later abandon their faith and lose their eternal life? No. Why? Because we are kept in Christ. Our security of salvation in Christ. That is explained verse 1 and 2. Can we see verse 1 and 2? So today our passage which we are going to deal, verse 1 and 2. Jude, a bond servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. When we read verse 1 and 2, we can understand the theme of this passage is the security of our salvation in Christ. Why? Because verse 1 says, we are called and beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Kept. If you observe, if you remember John Gospel chapter 10, verse 27 to 29, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29 says, no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. See, our security of salvation in Christ, we were protected. That is the Jude trying to explain to his audience. Brothers and sisters, three comforting effects of our security in Christ. Three comforting effects of our security in Christ. The first comforting effect of our security in Christ is it humbles us. It humbles us. See, Jude mentioned verse 1. Jude, a bond servant of Christ. A bond servant of Christ. When we see this word, we have two attitudes of humble man. Two attitudes of humble man. First attitude of humble man is accepting the Lordship of Jesus. Accepting the Lordship of Jesus. Because he said, a bond servant. Actually, he is one of the four half-brothers of Jesus. We know that. He did not introduce himself. See, I am a brother of Jesus. Jesus is my family member. He did not say that. He mentioned that Jude, a bond servant of Jesus Christ. He believes that his relationship with Jesus, that is, he is a slave. Jesus is the master, the only master, as he mentioned. He did not believe Jesus before his salvation. We know that John Gospel chapter 7 verse 5 says, for not even his brothers were believing in him. Not even his brothers. Jude, being a brother of Jesus, he did not believe Jesus' lordship. He thought that Jesus is a man. He did not believe that Jesus, the lordship, Jesus' deity. Then now he is explaining to his readers, Jude, a bond servant of Jesus. I am not a brother of Jesus. I understood who he is. I understood the lordship of Jesus Christ. When we can clearly understand by his attitude. Acts chapter 1 verse 14 says, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Listen carefully. Along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Jude, a brother of Jesus, our brother of Jesus, was devoted himself in prayer along with apostles, along with women and Christians. That means he is depending on Lord Jesus Christ. Before he did not care Jesus, now he is sitting, kneel down and praying to Lord Jesus Christ because Jesus is the one. He is the Lord who can help us in this time. So he is totally depending on Jesus Christ. That itself showing that he is accepting the lordship of Jesus Christ. Even though he was born our brother of Jesus. Then he understood clearly. He is so different than false teachers. He is so different than false teachers. Because he mentioned verse 4. He says verse 4 about false teachers. Deny our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. They deny our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. That means he believes that Jesus is only master. Jesus is the Lord. He accepted that. Brothers and sisters, we should accept the Lordship of Jesus Christ, whoever you are, how much you have, what is your ability, whatever you are in the society, but you should remember that Jesus is your Lord. He is your Lord. But we should know the great truth here. That is, he said, a bond servant. That means he is one of the slaves. That means there are many who are slaves of Jesus Christ. He said, he did not say the bond servant of Christ. He said, a bond servant of Christ. That means there are many people who is being a bond servant, a slave to Jesus Christ. For example, Paul, Peter, James, and deacons in the church, and all believers in the church, especially CCC members, each and every one of us sitting in this hall is a bond servant of Christ. You are a slave to the Christ according to the text. If you understand the lordship of Jesus Christ, you will humble yourself. You say, I am a bond servant of Jesus Christ. I am a slave. I am not the Lord. I am not the master. I have my master. That is Jesus Christ. The second attitude of humble man is serving the Lord through teaching. Serving the Lord through teaching. That means he says a bond servant. The word servant, word slave is used in metaphorically. Meaning of this word is, in this context, the slaves are those whose service is used by Christ in extending, advancing his cause among men. Apostles described themselves like this. For example, Romans chapter 1 verse 1, Paul said, bond servant of Christ. Other preachers and teachers of gospel, they described themselves a bond servant. For example, Jude, we can see here. Christ was used Jude to extend his ministry among men for his advance. Jude was the one who gave himself to Jesus' will and his dominion. We know that 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 5 says, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 5 says, we do not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas. These words belongs to Paul, we know. That means Paul was telling that Jude, being a brother of Jesus, he took his wife and serving the Lord. He did not accept, he is not only accepted Jesus is the Lord, but he is serving the church. He is serving the Lord. We clearly understand here. He is teaching the church through writing this epistle. As we discussed before, fight for the sound doctrine. To declare war against the false teachers. He is a slave of Jesus. What he is writing, the content of his epistle is to contend for the sound doctrine. To fight against false teachings. That means he is not pleasing men. He is not pleasing men. He is pleasing Jesus Christ. We know that Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. He is similar to Paul in serving Jesus. He is being a bondservant. When we read Galatians chapter 1 verse 10 says, Paul says like this, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. A bondservant of Christ does not please men. He pleases God. He lives for God. So Jude, he is writing, teaching about false teachers. So he is not pleasing false teachers. He is not pleasing men. So he is serving the Lord. When a man asked George Mueller the secret of his service, Mueller responded that there was a day when I died to George Mueller, died to his opinions, preferences, tastes, and will, and died to the world. Since then, I have studied to show myself approved only to God. Jude, living, serving the Lord so that he may approve to the Christ, approve to the God. Brothers and sisters, our security in Lord Jesus Christ makes us humble before him. One of the greatest sin in the church is pride, not serving others. What are the things that make us prideful, which hinders our service? What we have ourselves in the world. What we have, our talents, our riches, whatever you have. But we should be humble. I know that some of you serving the Lord, arranging the chairs, we came and sat down because someone came and served us, right? They arranged the electricity, these mic systems and everything, electrical systems, because they are serving the Lord. Because they understood that Jesus is the Lord. I am just a slave. Their opinion is not to please men, to please Christ. But if anyone is pleasing men, he should change. He should serve the Lord because to please Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. But I would encourage you, all of you, be part of service in the church. Because the church is Lord's. Jesus Christ is the Lord of this church. You know that I am not preaching you like Vijay. I am not doing all kind of these things. But I am doing secular job. How can I serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you should do your job perfectly. Perfectly you should do. One day I went to an office, RTO office. I asked how much I need to pay to get driving license. Then that fellow said, 2,500. I said, it is only 1,000. No, why you are asking 2,500? Then he said, brake inspector takes some amount. See, as a Christian, I'm giving just one example, what I faced. If you are working job, if you are doing job in secular, but you should do your job perfectly, being a Christian. being a Christian. That why you are serving Christ perfectly without selfishness, because to please Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you say, I'm not going to do job in outside, but I'm being a housewife. What is, how can I serve Lord? Serve Lord by serving your family, managing the home, serving your husband, serving your children. That is the service to the Jesus Christ. You are not serving them, you are serving them through by knowing He is the Lord Jesus Christ. The second comforting effect of our security in Christ is it protects us. It protects us. Not only humbles us, it protects us. Verse 1 says, part B, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, kept for Jesus Christ. See the word kept for Jesus Christ. That is saying that we are protected by God. Three aspects of protection. Three aspects of God's protection. The first aspect of God's protection is we are called for Christ's glory. We are called for Christ's glory. Verse 1 part B says, we who are the called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Christ. In Greek, this phrase is like this. To those who are beloved in God the Father, called and kept for Jesus Christ. Kept for Jesus Christ. Meaning of this word called is to be invited, to being invited. Invite to the God's kingdom. This is not a general call, but God's irresistible, elective call to salvation. Romans chapter 1 verse 7 says, Paul mentioned that, called as a saint. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world to call us. This call is called to the salvation. So Jude here explaining, describing the church. Church, you are called to the glory of Christ for the salvation. Whom he called generally? Does he has partiality? No. When we read 1 Corinthians chapter 24, it says, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks. That means Jesus, God called from Jews at the same time from Gentiles. He called both Jews and Gentiles. Brothers and sisters, many are not called to the salvation, even though they are strong more than us. Even though they are wise more than us. We are weak. We don't have strength. We don't have riches compared to other people. But God did not call them. But He called us. Even though we are weak. God did not call us because we are so important. God called us because we need Savior. Because we are sinners. So we are called by God. We should have that strength. We should have that praise, devotion to Jesus Christ for God. The second aspect of God's protection is, we are loved by God the Father. It says, beloved in God. Right translation is loved by God. The word beloved means to have a warm regard for, have affection for. So God has affection for the church, all of us. He loved us. God has exhibited by sending His Son to us and giving Him up to death in providing salvation. When we read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13, it says, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. Here we are beloved, loved by God, by the Lord. Why? We were chosen one. God has chosen us in the beginning, from the beginning for the salvation. Not only that, God is love, so that He loved us. He loved us. Verse 16, he says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, he says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father who has loved us. He has loved us. Because the description of the church, you are loved, you are beloved by God the Father. Brothers and sisters, people often seek love from others. They seek love from family members, relatives, and friends, and wife and husband. They seek love from them. But they will be disappointed because they did not receive that much love. Even as a Christians, we are also seeking love from church, our family members, but we are being disappointed sometimes. But great thing is, we are loved by God. We are loved by God. That is the great blessing, right? We are loved by God. We should love Him back because He loved us. Not only saying that God loved us, but we should love to Him. We should give our devotion, our lives to Him. Not only loving Him, if you understood, every one of us loved by God, but we should love our brothers also. We should love our brothers. That is mandatory. If you say that, I beloved in God. Third aspect of God's protection is, we are kept for Christ's glory. We are kept for Christ's glory. Verse 1 says, when we read verse 1, kept for Jesus Christ. The meaning of this word is preserve, hold, keep, we can say. The idea is this, our context, to those who have been called and who have been kept unharmed for Christ through Him. This word used for preserve, keep until the appropriate time. Keeping beloved ones for Christ. So here Jude is saying that church has kept unharmed for Christ appropriate time. That is eternal. Christ is going to keep us eternally. He won't lose us. The God not only gives salvation, brothers and sisters, but He also completes it through Jesus Christ. That is preserving and keeping the believers secure for eternal life. For eternal life. That's why 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23 says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul, body be preserved completely, complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember? Jesus Christ prays and He asked the Father to keep His disciples. When we read first John Gospel chapter 17 verse 11, it says, I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name. He says, verse 15, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. According to 1 John chapter 5 verse 18, it says, Son of God guarantees, Jesus guarantees that protection from evil one. It says, we know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him. The evil one does not touch him. Evil one does not touch him. Here idea is church kept for the benefit of Jesus Christ. When we read kept for Jesus Christ, the for Jesus Christ means here for the benefit of Jesus Christ, for the advantage of Jesus Christ. Does Jesus need us? No. Does Jesus need anything from us? So what does it mean? That means we should live to glorify Jesus. We should live our lives to glorify Jesus for Christ. That is living for Him. When we are facing false teachers, when people are trying to snatch us, we should live for them. We should live for Christ. We are being secure for the glory of Christ to uphold the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, you should not distrust the security of your salvation. Even true, genuine Christians will doubt their salvation. Jesus is praying, brothers and sisters. Jesus is protecting you. Because before the foundation of the world, God has chosen you and protected you eternally in Christ. That's why Jude chapter 1 verse 24 says, now to him who is able to keep, we are secure. One preacher said, we are secure not because we hold him tightly, because he holds tightly to us. That is our security. We are not doing anything from our salvation for our security, but Jesus Christ, he is protecting us. We should have that mind in your heart when you are doubting about your security. Third comforting effect of our security in Christ is it encourages us. It encourages us. Verse 2 says, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Jude's desire, prayer is that church should continually enjoy the Lord's blessing. No matter how difficult time, difficult spiritual battings you go through, his desire is to experience mercy and peace and love. The meaning of this multiplied, the word meaning is to cause to become greater in numbers. Grow, increase, we can say that. Here Jude is saying that mercy and peace and love be multiplied, become greater, more in spiritual battle. The Lord is the one who blesses us with spiritual things, even in bad situations, brothers and sisters. Here we have three divine blessings that we have in Christ. Three divine blessings that we have in Christ. First divine blessing that we have in Christ is mercy is multiplied to us. When we see verse 2, may mercy multiply to you, he said. The mercy is kindness, concern expressed for someone who is in need. Mercy is compassion, pity on someone. It is the mercy that of God towards sinners, we can say. It is the mercy, the compassion will surround someone for protection. When we read Psalm 31, verse 10 says, Psalm 32, verse 10 says, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. The loving kindness is God's mercy, God's kindness. Church need more mercy to contend for the faith. This context. Actually, God's mercy is source of our salvation. When we read Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. According to his mercy. Here our blessing is God's mercy multiplied in our lives more and more. For the security of our salvation and defense for the sound doctrine. And we know Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We receive mercy at throne of grace. When we are weak, when we do sin, we should run to the mercy of Christ at church as a believer. We should approach the mercy of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 9 verse 23, he says, and he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. The vessels of mercy, those sinners whom God has chosen for salvation, continually receiving outpouring of his mercy. God did not leave his child. God did not leave us. If we are saved, if we are called, kept for Christ, he will pour out his mercy in our life. All situations, all situations. Brothers and sisters, we should lean, pray to God so that he may give mercy in our life. When we are weak, when we are doing battle, to defending the false teachers. We need more mercy. When we are weak, that time God has to show his mercy. Brothers and sisters, God will show mercy more and more in our lives. Second divine blessing that we have in Christ is peace is multiplied to us. Peace is multiplied to us. To meet the needs of every circumstances, God also multiplies his peace to believers. That is, knowing that the sins are forgiven, first thing. Then, do you remember Jesus' words to his disciples? John Gospel chapter 14, verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to, I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." When we read Psalm chapter 29, verse 11 says, "The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." With peace. We think that blessings are other things, but God blesses with his peace. We need more peace. Brothers and sisters, we have Christ's peace. Do not fear. Do not let your heart trouble whatever situations in your life you're facing. God increases more peace if you are in more trouble. God increases. Third divine blessings that we have in Christ is love is multiplied to us. Love is multiplied to us. Verse 2. God further blesses believers, his church, with constant outpourings of his love. Paul said, "The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us." Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And we read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us." God pours out his abundant blessings on those whom he calls and loves and keeps. Why we need more love? Why church need more love? Because when we are living for Christ, the world will hate us. When we are living for truth, false teachers will hate us. When we are living, sometimes even Christians will hate us. Those times we need courage. Those times we need mercy and love and peace. God is going to give mercy. I have met one old lady who is a believer facing cancer. I asked her, "How is your health?" She said, "I am okay, but I have pain. God has given this, so I have to face this." I was so encouraged by her words. People often say that who has like this problem, what they will say? They grumble. If pastor meet or others meet, believers meet, they will cry, "Please pray for us. So I am not doing well. Why God has sent this cancer in my life? Why God is doing in my life? God is not loving me." They will say like that. But this dear old lady, she did not say that. She said, "God has sent this, I have to face." My thinking is, why she has that much faith? Because God increases his love, his mercy, his peace in that person. You know, Paul, he was in imprisonment. Then he said, Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, he said, "If even I am being poured out as drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice." Then he said, "I share my rejoice with you." Why he has that much joy, even though he was in imprisonment? Why she has that much faith in God, even though she has cancer? Because as a believer, we are called and kept for Christ and beloved in God. So Jesus, God, increases his mercy and love, peace in our life. Brothers and sisters, don't become weak in your life. God blesses. God bless you more and more by multiplying his mercy, peace, love in your life, because you are secure in Christ. We have seen three comforting effects of our security in Christ. It humbles us, it protects us, it encourages us. I am going to read the quotation from R.C. Sproul. He said, "Perseverance of saints is dangerously misleading because it suggests that the persevering is something that we do perhaps in and of ourselves. I believe that saints do persevere in faith, and that those who have been effectually called by God, reborn by the Spirit, they do persevere, but not simply because they are so diligent in making use of the mercies of God. Why we continue in the faith until the last day is not because we have persevered so much, but because we have been preserved. So I prefer the term preservation of saints instead of perseverance of saints. Because this process by which we are kept in state of grace is something accomplished by God. We are secure, brothers and sisters, eternally, because we are preserved by Christ." Preserved by Christ. Whatever situation comes, God may help us. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, you called us, you loved us, and kept for Christ. Lord, we are living, having faith, not because of our strength, Lord, because of your love. You are keeping us, protecting us from evil ones in our lives. Lord, help us, each and every one of us, to know the truth. To know the truth that Jesus is the protector of our souls, all the situations. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your mercy, peace, love in our difficult situations. Lord, we have the divine blessings. Lord, bless this church for your glory, so that we may worship you again and again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.